Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. And here it is, 3:09 in the morning, March 15th, 2009. I just got off the air with you guys a few hours ago with program 6 of tape 3. This is program 7 of tape 4. I don't know. Went to bed, tossed and turned. All I could do was just think about stuff. So, I might as well get as many of this stuff I can on tape. Because, you never know when the last Ghost Wolf Radio show will be, you know. We'll talk about counter-guerrilla operations. Operations against guerrilla forces are characterized by aggressiveness, initiative, offensive action, and a continuous effort to gain and keep the support of the local population. Wow, we're starting off in a hole, aren't we? Sweet Ghost Wolves have no support. And that's not, I don't say that as something that's bad. It's just the way it is. That means that our program is going to be different than a lot of guerrilla programs in the past. I don't think it's something that we need to have a woe is me attitude about. It's just something we'll deal with. Remember, we don't want the masses. What would we do with them? They'd be doing nothing but tearing our whole operation apart. Our goal is to reduce combat, political, and industrial effectiveness of our own country and those that try to buy it up. That's right. I've said it before, and maybe some of you out there don't think that maybe you don't want to buy into it because it's coming from me. Fact of the matter is, and I think it is a fact, that if you want to save the white race, you got to bring down the system first. Because if this thing goes along peacefully and merrily, black, brown, and yellow will outbreed us in no problem. Within one generation, they'll be, you know, totally the dominant races on this landmass here, this North American landmass. And well on their way to being the dominant subspecies of the human species in Europe. So we want to reduce, you know, the industrial effectiveness of the country. We need to bring Mad Max. And as much as I don't want to, as much as I don't want to live in a society like that, it's necessary. It's a necessary evil. You want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And those that try to buy it up, all these foreign interests coming in this country. You know, like the Sears Tower in Chicago was renamed the Willis Tower from some business company from London. Some London-based company came in Chicago and bought up the Sears Tower, which is like the tallest building in North America. I don't mind. You know, white Brits come here and buy up stuff. What I don't like are the Arabs and the Asians and the Africans and the Mexicans and the mestizos buying up stuff. That I just won't tolerate, and neither should you. Okay, we must be ruthless, cunning, and able fighters. All of you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you ruthless? Are you cunning? Are you willing to fight? Our goal is to cross paths with as many people as possible who are discontented with the system, and without telling them our racial views. Nothing wrong with networking with even anarchists. Rub shoulders with them. Get to know them. Make friends with them. Maybe even spur them on to do stuff. But do not tell them your racial views at all. And then when you go with them on, if you go with them on an op, if it's an anti-system op, by all means, go. You win their trust by doing stuff. They think you're an anarchist. The op gets done. And then, by the way, they don't know your true name. And they will not know where you live for real. Address you give them will be an abandoned house that you're using as a safe house. And after the op is done with the social Marxists or the anarchists, you know, and you've helped do some damage yourself, you make an anonymous call to the law enforcement and get them all thrown in jail. Kill two birds with one stone. You agitate and you get to do some monkey wrenching. And they never knew who you really were. That could work. All we need is balls. We will glean from them intelligence on institutions and personal resources, info that could aid us in the fine art of sabotage. We need to make friends with as many people as possible in all walks of life, banking, business, police. But they will never know our racial views because we are ghost wolves. Ghost, the operative word here. We're nameless and faceless. We just, you know, we have to become a terrible thought in the minds of people. There you are, you with your cop buddy, drinking beers. He's telling you about all these ghost wolves and stuff and what they're doing around the country. And you'll be sitting there drinking your beer like, yeah, fuck these bastards, man. I'm sick and tired of all this domestic terrorist bullshit. Then you just catch these guys and cut their fucking balls off. You'd be that cop's friend, not knowing the whole time. That cop, not knowing the whole time that he's befriended a ghost wolf. It's fucking poetry, man. I love that shit. Can you guys see the vision? We need to find a way to network and bring foreign nationals in under the guise of a vacation so we can train them. I think I've talked about that before. I'd love to get some kind of thing going, some kind of network going. And by the way, we are a face-to-face network, but we couldn't be face-to-face with our European allies or Australian insurgents. We've got to find a way where we can get them boys some training. You know, and maybe they know some things that we need to learn. So we got to find a way around that. Got to find a way around Interpol. As lone wolves, we have complete freedom of movement. That's true. Now, by the way, these all fall under counter-guerrilla operations. Okay? You get around counter-guerrilla operations by being ruthless and cunning, crossing paths with people who are disconnected with the system also. You know, befriend them, use them. You can glean intelligence from them. You need to find a way to network with foreign nationals without using the internet somehow. You know? The goal is to reduce combat political industrial effectiveness of our country. You know, that's a guerrilla activity, and they will do everything they can to counter that. So these are some of the ways around counter guerrilla operations. Okay, since we are one man armies, we can disperse quickly and make decisive combat almost impossible. Almost impossible, because how will they be decisive with an individual? Okay? How easy is it for one man to disperse from the scene? It's a lot harder for a group. Through urban landscape, through forests, mountains. We by ourselves are hindered by the electronic world. We will not rely on that. Embrace lawlessness of other races to distract the system. Absolutely. Black guys want to rob a bank? hold the door open for them. We wear nothing distinctive, and our wish, our identity will only be manifested by the surprise of our deeds.
That's right. We're not going to telegraph any deeds we do. Nope, what we're going to do, we're just going to surprise people. And then when we start getting people's attention, then we'll bring out the propaganda. Spray paint, magic markers. I favor spray paint. Messages, you know. And you'll do a message in one town and act upon it in like 2-3 towns over. Spread it out, vary it, set no patterns. Because we are by ourselves, we have to initiate. Because we are by ourselves, we have the initiative. Forcing our enemies to react rather than to act. A single ghost wolf's tactics allow him to strike at a time and place of his choosing. How can counter-guerrilla operations counter that? You don't belong to a group. You don't belong to a cell or a guerrilla movement that's putting out propaganda and trying to win over the people. We're not in contact. We're not debating with the people, talking about the people about race. These are the people that have turned us in. It's time to shut up. It's time to stop trying to debate with people. If you're into that, if you're into that, then really, you really don't need to be listening to this show. You might as well just shut it off right now. Really. I mean, go ahead, shut it off. I'll give you a couple seconds. Go ahead. All right, because, if you're debating with people, you're not a ghost wolf. You need to, and if you have the mental, the intestinal fortitude to be a ghost wolf, come on, we need you. I know you can fight wars on a lot of different fronts. You can fight with words. You can fight with the written word. You can fight with demonstrations and TV appearances. We got enough people doing that. We have absolutely no soldiers in the street fighting by sound tactics anymore. And wear bomber jackets, boots and braces at a demonstration, that is not fighting. Familiarity with the area, okay? If you're unknown to the system, you don't have to travel far to be active. Motivation. All we need is a handful of ghost wolves to start their own personal war of the flea. Flea bites a dog on the ass. Before the dog can scratch that spot, he's gone. He's biting him on the belly. When the dog goes to scratch that, he's gone. He's biting him on the shoulder. Dog goes to scratch that, he's biting him on top of the head. I mean, hit and run, hit and run. You're not staying around watching your work, watching the Zog tape off the scene or do whatever. You're gone. You don't need to fucking stand there and admire your work. As a group, they were trying to ferret out our members who joined. They'll look for weak spots, like a lion looks at a herd of, gazelles or whatever. He looks for the weak, the distracted, the ones that they think they can run down. That's what the Praetorian law enforcement people are like. And that's who they look for. But how can they do that if you're an individual who's unknown to them? They'll ferret out the members who joined only out of fear or because of mere discontent with the government. But will they succeed with the individual? I say absolutely, emphatically no. You ghost wolves, I guarantee you, you do things right, you put into practice the things I've talked about casual confidence, nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing, the little techniques I told you about with the sports bag, how to change your identity quickly, you don't do it in the vicinity of your car. Remember what I told you about with the parking lots? Go back and listen to them shows over and over again. Okay, we will exploit contacts with the antisocial elements. Absolutely, the anarchists, even the Reds. And we'll pretend to be a Red. The immature, if need be, the fanatics, common criminals, without letting them know who we really are or becoming immersed in their miserable lives.
who have nothing to do with their miserable lives. We don't give a fuck about them. Okay? They're doing nothing for the race. They're dragging the race down. You have no sympathy for them. If you want to act like you got sympathy for them, go ahead. These kind of, this stuff, this mindset I'm sharing with you will work. I don't sit at home twisting my fucking mustache thinking of some fucking cool shit to say to you guys so I can try to elevate myself at resist.com. That's not what I'm about. Okay? I could very easily walk away from this shit tomorrow. I put this shit into practice. Don't make me regret it. Don't make me regret even telling you guys about this. Alright, we will befriend the security lackadaisical. You're watching a place, you see a guard who's pretty lackadaisical. Get to know that guy's routine. Find out where he hangs out. And conveniently beat her one night. Buy him a beer. Tell him how shitty your life is. Try to build a camaraderie with him. We will befriend the talkers and the careless. Okay? And those who have a false sense of security because of their position in life, maybe. We will not draw attention to ourselves. No, we won't. I mean, if we're at a bar and we're trying to befriend someone, I know that's drawing attention to yourself, but I'm saying as you're swimming in the sea of the people, don't draw attention to yourself. You're not driving a flashy car. You're bland in everything, okay? Let that not fuck with your ego. You're a fucking soldier. You're behind enemy lines. You want to be successful? Apply this shit. You don't want to do nothing? You want to just fucking shoot emails to Tom Metzger for him to put on the news and views? Well, you can do that, but what I'm sharing with you guys right now, we need some soldiers. We got enough writers. We got enough talkers. We got enough people who can give great speeches. We need soldiers. We cannot win this thing without soldiers. We will become familiar with the lay of the land. We will learn how to use existing obstacles to our advantage. That's when, you know, that's when you study the terrain for an op, you know. You know, if you got to make the enemy try to cross an obstacle to get to you. The best example I saw this one time is this, on this documentary about these bank robbers. They fled from the bank in their stolen car. And they were like infants. The law enforcement wasn't right behind them, but they were like a block away or whatever. And they pulled into this cul-de-sac somehow. And they got out of the car, just left the car as it is, and they hopped this fence, and on the other side of this fence was another stolen car that they used for a getaway. So the police couldn't drive through the fence. I mean, they were stuck right there, you know, talking on the radio, trying to give make and model of the new car and description of the guys, but they never got them. They used that fence as an obstacle. That was smart of them. I'm not condoning bank robbery. I believe in law and order. I believe we should all be nice. All right. We will not be unaccustomed to fatigue, hunger, and hardship. We will harden ourselves. Have that steely will, a will of steel. We will be able to move great distances under very adverse terrain and weather in short periods of time and fight when we arrive. We need to be at that type of thing. You know, I remember one time I parked my car at least 5 miles away from where I had to go. And I exploited a lot of rough terrain to get where I'm going because I'm a stickler about that. I don't want to walk on streets. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be memorized, you know? And if I have to use streets, I'm going to dress, you know, in a way that's not going to attract attention. On the streets, I probably won't be dressed in all black. That stands out a little bit, even at night. I'll dress in earth-tone colors, though, if I have to use streets. But if I can use the wood line, well, I'm going to be a fucking ninja. We will be elusive and vanish after we strike. We're not going to stay around and watch our work.
Okay. I know this falls under counter-guerrilla ops, and I put it under this specifically because how do you counter that if you're one guy? You can't. I'm telling you, you guys will be batting 1,000. Just grab your balls. We will have the mental stamina to work through setbacks. I've experienced some serious setbacks. I don't want to go into specifics. I shared one on a tape earlier. We will embrace night to achieve stealth, secrecy, and surprise. We will magnify any careless or thoughtless act by the system to spread resentment anonymously. Okay. Right now I want to have a word from our sponsors. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network at resist.com, all made possible by a very open-minded, highly motivated white Pan-Aryan, Tom Metzger. He can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. He's got training DVDs just waiting to be borrowed. You can call the Aryan Update Line at 574-267-5036. Now let us move on. I'm going to be talking about sniper stuff here now. And the reason why I want to talk about sniper stuff, because just in case any of you guys out there are going to train at Blackwater, this would be, you'll have the heads up on training. So that's the only reason why I'm sharing this stuff. Not that I'm going to create snipers out there. Absolutely not. We're just getting ready for, you know, the Chinese occupation. Because we know it's coming. Just like the Easter Bunny in a month. Okay, a sniper must be physically and mentally hard and must be able to estimate range, search areas, locate and identify sounds, use cover, concealment, camouflage, use maps, sketches, area photographs, google.com, and the compass. He must be able to locate enemy personnel, equipment, quickly, move without detection and under long periods of waiting. Okay? I take a mentally tough guy. You know the attrition rate at Marine Sniper School or Army Sniper School is pretty high. You know, they'll start with maybe a class of 40 snipers and maybe only graduate maybe 4, you know. You know, don't forget your ghillie suit. Make a ghillie suit. And then it doesn't have to look like a fucking, you know, Marine ghillie suit, but, you know, something that you could alter your shape if you're at night. They sell something like that at hunting stores. All you gotta do is just slip it over your clothes. And it's made out of a mesh, so it breathes real nice. It's not gonna make you hot and sweaty. Dick's Sporting Goods got that. We got a store in Illinois called Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't know if it's in other states. I'm sure it is. But basically, it's like a made out of a mesh. And it's you know, it's got broken up pattern. I'm talking about, you know, actual material that sticks out from it. It just really meant to break up your outline, but it's, you know, it's breathable, it's pretty nice. You know, deer hunters buy it. Okay, targets are leaders. This is some of the stuff that they're going to train you at Blackwater. You know, so know this stuff before you go there. You'll impress your instructor. Snipers look for leaders, gunners, radio operators, forward observers, and enemy snipers as, you know, in a counter-sniper role. Or anyone who exposes themselves. You also gather intel and become familiar with enemy terrain and report enemy activities. You should have binoculars, a watch, a compass, camouflage clothing, and maybe infrared equipment. Now, camouflage clothing, I'm not actually talking about BUs, you know, camouflage army uniforms. That's not what I mean. I'm just talking about wearing clothes that you can wear on the street, but at the same time, if you're out in a field type of environment, you don't stand out either. Okay? Give you an example. A nice pair of pants, type of pants I like to wear are black Dickies pants. You know, maybe you guys like to shy away from Dickies because of sticks wearing them, but the white man invented Dickies. Dickies was white workers' wear for like, what, 50 years? That's our shit. Well, we're going to not wear that because I don't look like a spick. We invented that shit. Work boots? That's a white man's thing. Flannel shirts? They don't fucking deserve to wear that shit. They'd be wearing loincloths if it wasn't for the white man. Okay, snipers must have primary and alternate positions. You might have to camouflage your position to preserve the natural appearance of the terrain. Okay, you want to make sure that you blend in with the surrounding area. The snipers work best in pairs so as to alternate duties. You know, looking through a scope, it starts to mess with your eye after a while, and scanning the terrain. It's good to switch off with a guy every 30 minutes or so. So if you work in pairs, that works best. Single snipers are employed when two might be detected. When it comes to moving through a field type of environment, wood type of environment, the less people there are moving, the less chance of detection. You have two guys moving through the woods, most likely they won't be detected than if you had 45 guys moving through the woods. You understand? Okay, single snipers are alright. One sniper may want to move from position to position so as to find and improve sectors of fire. Okay? Just saying basically that one sniper is more mobile than a sniper pair. Okay? A sniping post, you should try to approach from the rear with no covered routes to the flanks to hinder enemy flanking maneuver. Absolutely no prominent landmarks as a sniper post. They usually draw fire. You should not be skylined. Your background must help hide you. There's a lot in that point right there. A lot in that. If you pick a position, you don't want a bunch of covered and concealed avenues of approach coming to your flank. Because counter sniper operations, you know, they'll shoot at you from the front so they can maneuver a assault element to either one of your flanks. You want to have it so if they do try to flank you, they got to expose themselves, you know, from a good distance away, anywhere between 200 to 50 meters, you know. But don't forget, you're a sniper, one shot, one kill. You pop the guy, you're gone, all right? You're not going to sit there and keep shooting people. All right. Absolutely no prominent landmarks. So you're not going to get in a church bell tower, a church that's in the middle of a field outside of town. Okay? You're not going to get on top of a hill. Prominent land features, landmarks, you know, top of a tower or something, that attracts attention. Don't forget, when you pick your sniper's perch, you're back inside the room. Your muzzle does not protrude past the aperture of the window. You want the inside of the room to hide the flash and the dust that gets kicked up from the percussion of the round being fired, okay? What else was here? You should not be skylined. Absolutely. Do not skyline yourself. And don't forget, you can also skyline yourself at night. You know? But the enemy's got to be closer to see that. Alright, no background. Your background must help hide you. Okay, I mean, you don't want a white background and you're in OD green or black or brown, you know? I told you guys that story when I went into the park one night in Berwyn, or just a park down the road, and I was watching these three Mexicans, and not knowing that to my back was a parking lot that was pretty lit up. Even though the field I was standing on was dark. And if Spitz would have looked over their left shoulder, they would have easily saw me because I was silhouetted. You know, the pavement of the parking lot, and then I'm, you know, wearing black, so they would have saw someone standing there. But, you know, I corrected my own mistake. So always look behind you when you think you've got a good position. Make sure that you don't stand out. You don't contrast the background. All right, before you shoot, move slowly and cautiously. Quick, jerky movements attract attention. The human eye is made to, you know, look for a movement like that. It goes all the way back to our monkey ancestors. All right. With two sniper teams, change duties, not position, minimize movement. Okay. You're looking downrange at your target, and to your right is your spotter, and he's using his laser range finder, estimating ranges for you, getting the exact range so you could dial it in on your scope.
when it's time for you guys to change duties, you're not going to like, all right, let me get over there and then you over here. No, he takes the sniper rifle, he's still on your right, and then you take the laser range finder, if you have one. I doubt if gorillas will have stuff like that, but it'd be nice. Things that lead to detection are shiny equipment, reflection from the binos, you know, like the binoculars, the glass. When you hold those things, hold it so the edge of the binoculars is at like your index finger and your thumb are around the edge, whereas you got the rest of the fingers hanging over the glass of binoculars. This takes away a lot of reflection. Okay, I'll have to show you sometimes if I ever do the ghost video thing that I was talking about with Tom Metzger. Okay, things that lead to detection also are uncamouflaged face and hands. An outline, maybe your skyline, maybe you're wearing clothing that contrasts your background. And noise and smoking. Okay, sniper with a unit should be forward of teammates on the move. Sniper can warn of enemy movement, helps locate targets for supporting weapons systems. And at the end of the mission, sniper should be debriefed because he probably seen things that the rest of the unit did. So the sniper's like forward of an advancing company or something like that. Using cover and concealment, he's in radio contact. He's going to see the enemy before the enemy sees him, most likely. Okay? And that's definitely bound to happen. All right. Here we go. We're going to talk about safe houses. I got 3 sheets on this shit, man. All right. Safe houses. Entering or leaving a safe house should be done at night. It could be done right after dusk. And you could be going to your safe house into it like right before dawn. Okay? Try your best to do all your leaving and coming during hours of limited visibility. Do not approach owner of safe house in front of witnesses. Okay? You're putting them on the spot. You're giving someone else outside the network seeing you and him talking. And all of a sudden your face, your mugshot's plastered all over the goddamn news nationwide. And his neighbor sees that mugshot. And he remembers that he saw someone fitting your description talking to his neighbor. Do not approach the owner of a safe house in front of his neighbors or his co-workers or friends. Make sure he's alone if contact's made that way. Do not approach safe house when people are nearby. You know, you definitely want, no, you don't want any witnesses seeing you go into that house. Okay? Even if it's dark, and even if, you know, you just, you don't want to leave anything to chance. You don't want to burn the guy who's operating the safe house. He's helping. He's a big part of the network. It's better for you to be burned than him. Because he's more underground than you are. The owner of a safe house has got to be somebody who's above reproach, who has absolutely no racial connections. If you seize his hard drive, he has absolutely no racial websites on it. Okay. Okay. Help may be refused if safe house owner, if someone has seen you approach asking for assistance. He can refuse help, or he can say, hey man, I don't know you. You must have me confused so much because you put him on the spot. Okay? So he can refuse help, and you may have to wait another 24 hours to get entry into that safe house. Never enter or leave safe house by front entrance. You know, the door that faces the street, which is most likely to be seen by neighbors or passing cars. If captured, you may become a prisoner, but safe house owner may fare much worse. Like I said, it's better for you to be burned. And you know what? You got to take one for the team. If it's you or the safe house owner, you got to go down. Because it's very hard to establish a safe house with a credible above ground person. Okay? I know Jefferson Mack wrote a book for Paladin Press called something about the Underground Railroad and how it can be used in shuffle spies around and stuff like that. I never got around to reading it. Any of you guys got it out there? I don't know, maybe I can borrow it. All right, if captured, you may become a prisoner. But okay. Any of yours, friends, or family's phone records can never have been on the safe house owner's phone number ever. What the? Okay, none of your phone number that you've ever had in your life, no phone numbers of your friends or families can ever be on the safe house owner's phone record. Okay? I'm telling you, that's how they get a lot of people. They start looking at phone records, even years old. Okay? It's got to be somebody that you, your family, your friends have never talked to on the phone. His number's not going to show up on your records, your friends' records, or your family's records, and your numbers are not going to show up on his records. Okay? You just can't have it. You got to communicate. If you ever call him, it's got to be from an anonymous source somehow. Payphone. A phone at a dispatch office that will call. You know, safe house owners should have absolutely no affiliation with racial organizations, and they must not be known for racialism. You are not to know or go to a safe house. A rendezvous point to meet your guide should first be established. Okay? To keep it safe, to make sure that people are who they say they are, you should meet your guide that's going to take you to the safe house at a rendezvous point, whether it's a public place or out in the woods somewhere. If it's out in the woods somewhere, whoever gets to the safe house first has to, or whoever gets to the rendezvous point first has to secure that rendezvous point and make sure there's no enemy personnel, there's no prying eyes, no nosy neighbors, whatever. Okay? Alright, safe house should not be established in an area where a stranger will stand out. Okay? It'd be ideal not to have a safe house in a town that's only got 1,500 people. You're better off being in a city of 300,000. Alright? A hand sign or something else should be used for a guide to identify the ghost wolf. Okay? And that's SOPs that we will develop over time, hopefully. Maybe I'm just fantasizing too much about what this ghost will think and really evolve into. I hope I'm not just spinning my fucking wheels here. The guide should not hang out at a rendezvous point, but he should make casual trips by the rendezvous point, maybe for a day to make contact. If he hangs out at the rendezvous point, he could stand out. He could be noticed there by people. Maybe someone knows, hey man, what are you doing here? You know, like that. He may need to make 4 to 6 trips by the rendezvous point during a 24-hour period to see if his ghost wolf is there, ready to be taken into the network. But if it's a place out in the woods that has absolutely no nosy villagers or no nosy townspeople, you know, maybe the guy could hang out there. So you got to play that by ear. Okay. A chosen rendezvous point should not cause the ghost wolf to stand out either, but should be inconspicuous. If it's a public place, a nice little cafe somewhere where he can hang out in the corner booth there drinking, you know, espressos and reading the New York Times or whatever, while he's dressed in nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. See how this all connects together? That's right. I used to be NSA. No, I'm just kidding. Alright. Signs and countersigns could be used at the rendezvous point to ensure everybody involved are who they say they are. Alright, time of contact should be towards the end of the day, light hours, or shortly thereafter, at the end of daylight, or just after dusk. That'd be some of the best time to make contact. But then again, if it's in a public place like a cafe, well, you know, cafes are open late too sometimes. Okay, but then again, the cafe owner
me. See, you want to have it so when the guide and the ghost wolf make contact in public, that it's done in a way where it looks like they don't know each other. Okay? A lot of your own personal stuff can go into this. But if this is over-analysis, well, I don't know what to tell you. I got the stuff out of some military reading. Okay. Time of contact should be told. All right. Darkness should aid Ghost Wolf if contact should prove unfriendly. Maybe the guy he meets, he pretended to be a guy, but since they're meeting at hours of limited visibility, you know, this could give Ghost Wolf a chance to maybe dispatch this guy with extreme prejudice or maybe get out of Dodge. So, it's good that way. Okay, when contact is made, you may be told to wait in the vicinity or be taken to another facility that is a holding area prior to the safe house. Okay, this is after you make, meet the guy at the rendezvous point. You may be taken to, be made to wait in a certain vicinity. Okay, they got to clear it first. They got to take you to a holding area first prior to the safe house. A lot of security, procedures in this, man. A safe house is an important thing. And I'm talking about a safe house that's in the network of Ghost Wolf cells. You can have your own personal safe house by finding an abandoned house somewhere. That could be a place for you just to lay low for a while. Hey, I need that bump key who's ever got the technical savvy to make one, slip it inside a paperback book, and then mail it to Tom Metzger, and he can mail it to me. It would expedite me in helping me to clean these properties quicker and get more money. So you'd be helping me to make more money because my sister owns these properties. Okay? It must be decided at this time, when you meet the person at the rendezvous point, to trust the contact. If there is any doubt, evade immediately, Ghost Wolf. And try to make contact with someone else and let them know, say, hey man, something just didn't feel right about him. Okay? The contact should play a role that is pro-system, and that he is on good terms with the system. That's the guide. You know, if you got to meet in a public area, okay, he may be wearing a t-shirt that says, God, Guns, and Guts, All Three Made America Free, or something like that, you know, or something, you know, he could be dressed in a, carry himself in a pro-system way. He loves his government, he loves his, state government, city government. He loved being an American, you know, like that. So what are you guys carrying? All right, the contact should play the role that is pro-system. All right, I already read that. Okay. A lot of writing on this. All right, verification of who you are may be required for protection of the safe house. That's to go here or there, because maybe you don't want to carry identification. Maybe you've changed your appearance and you don't want to be caught with your license on you. I don't know. A lot of this stuff is flexible, okay? The constant danger facing a safe house owner is the penetration of the network by enemy agents, okay? That's why all these procedures, these security procedures are in place. Getting guys to put up their own personal house as a safe house because they're sympathetic to our cause, there are very few, far and few in between guys that'll do that. So if we get one, we can't burn this guy. Absolutely not. All right. It is best to avoid talk even in the safe house. Okay? Now, I mean, yeah, you can talk to the guy or this or that, but absolutely no loud music. You know, you shouldn't be, definitely don't get in an argument with anybody. Okay, so. But you don't want to be asking 20 questions when you get in there about the guy's personal life and this and that. The less you know about the safe house owner, the better. The less the safe house owner knows about the Ghost Wolf, the better.
Okay? Alright, follow the orders of the safe house owner. His ass on the line. He's got a lot more to lose probably than you do. Okay? If wait time at the rendezvous point is extended, Ghost Wolf should not become impatient, but he must decide for himself whether to stay or evade. Ghost Wolf and contact should be given 48-hour grace period to make contact. That contact is the guy, you know. If it's out in an discreet location, like out in the woods somewhere. In safe house, Ghost Wolf should stay indoors during daylight. Safe house owner should have a plan for a rapid escape. Okay, maybe like a tunnel out of the basement or something. It is incumbent upon the Ghost Wolf to remove all evidence that he was there. Don't leave that up to the safe house owner. He could space out on something, and you know, if he does come under some kind of investigation, they start searching his house and they find something that maybe had your fingerprints on it, or maybe, you know, a piece of paper that was personal to you. You, the Ghost Wolf, you make damn sure before you leave that safe house for the final time that you have absolutely no personal stuff in that house. Okay. 4 o'clock and all is well. Alright. Ghost Wolf, alright. In safe house, Ghost Wolf should stay indoors. Okay. Jesus Christ, I keep losing my fucking place. Alright, it would be a grave breach of security to discuss aspects of earlier stages of the network in later stages. Alright, you get in the safe house, right? And then you're talking with the safe house owner about the rendezvous point, what that was like, and or the holding area where you had to wait. Or maybe you were before you even made it to the rendezvous point to meet up with the guy. You absolutely do not discuss any details about those stages with anybody. Okay? They're not on a need-to-know basis. Remember what I talked about on the other side of the tape or the other tape? People shouldn't know nothing unless they have a need to know. Okay. Alright. Ghost Wolf is not to ask specifics about future stages. If captured, he cannot give up that info. Okay? You just go along. I mean, if the Ghost Wolf has to move to another location, he's told where, when, and who to meet, and this and that. Nothing more, but it's right before he has to leave. You should not know that on a Monday, even though he's not leaving until Friday. Okay? Because if he's captured on Tuesday, well, he knows information that could be interrogated out of him about where he was going, and then that place gets busted. Oh, we got to keep the network alive. I wish there was a network. Okay. Ghost Wolf is not to memorize names and places, and he is not to write anything down while at that safe house. Okay. If other Ghost Wolves are at the same safe house, they are not to meet. They should not be socializing with each other. Okay? If one of the Ghost Wolves is captured, he's interrogated, you know? He's like, oh, there's another guy there. He had red hair and a red goatee. Oh, yeah, we're looking for this guy. He's wanted in Seattle for some Ghost Wolf activity. You know, shit like that. So try, if you're a safe house owner and you have a couple Ghost Wolves in your place, try to keep them separate. They are not to meet. Try your best not to have them meet or see each other. All right. Keep everyone safe, you know. If Ghost Wolf is under escort by guide to the safe house or holding area, it should not be apparent to outsiders. They need to act like they're strangers with each other, you know. They shouldn't be talking, you know, conversing with each other. Remember, they met out in the woods. You know, the guy said, all right, 15 minutes, all right, I'm going to be standing in this parking lot, and I'm going to be walking towards the safe house, and you can just shadow me like you're just, you know, casual citizen going for a walk. Both of them using casual confidence. They are not to be seen together, okay? Alright. In public vehicle, Ghost Wolf is not to be talking to the guide or appear to be associated with them. Alright, if they're in a vehicle together, it could be just one guy giving a hitchhiker a ride, or maybe the guy could be posed as a taxi cab driver, but they shouldn't be conversing. They shouldn't be like they have anything to talk about. Okay? This will lessen the possibility of both being apprehended. Okay? If you're both pulled over and the ghost wolf is busted, he won't drag down the guide with him. Our goal is try our best not to bring down anyone else in the network. As few people as possible in the network should be taken down. All right? Like I said, in a public vehicle, ghost wolves not to be talking to the guide. This will lessen the possibility of both being apprehended, you know, because the guy can disavow information. Say, hey, I don't know this fucking guy. I'm just picking him up. He's a fare of mine. He's a fare. I just picked him up at the train station, whatever. It should always be possible for the guy to disown you. The safe house must be protected. Okay? When escorted, follow the guide at a distance rather than walk beside him, ghost wolf. Okay? Guide enters the safe house in front. Ghost wolf will walk one block down and double back, maybe like coming back up an alley, and enters the safe house at a marked entrance in the rear of the safe house. You know, like maybe, you know, enter the door that's by the broken down staircase, you know? That'll be open and just go right in. And remember, this takes place during hours of limited visibility. This way, the guide and the... Okay, remember the whole thing that I read here. Guide enters the safe house in the front. Ghost wolf walks one block down and doubles back up an alley, maybe. You know, comes... Use whatever path you can to get to the back of the safe house. And enters a marked entrance. You got it marked in some way. Maybe you got a rag or a tile hanging out the window of the door he's got to walk through. Have it marked somehow. Inconspicuously, but he knows what to look for. He enters a marked entrance in the rear of the safe house. This way, the guide and the ghost wolf have not been publicly associated.
Pretty good shit here, Maynard!
Okay. Alright. Never speak to strangers. In fact, appear to be half-witted or preoccupied. This is the ghost wolf. He's waiting for his guide. You know, you got people around who want to strike up a conversation with him. You don't need that. Alright. Never speak to strangers. In fact, appear to be half-witted or preoccupied. Half-witted, like, you know, like you're... Play dumb. Play like you're a dumbass or something. You know? Be preoccupied, like you're reading or sleeping, is a good way to discourage public conversation and public conveyance. Alright? Do not produce articles in public which could draw attention. Pipes, cigarettes, fountain pens, nice fancy wristwatches and jewelry. Okay? Remember, you don't want to draw attention to you in anything. Right, watch personal habits. Don't be whistling or humming a popular song. That could stand out to someone. Don't even draw attention to yourself, even with your table manners. Do not be remembered. If you've got to eat in a public place while you're waiting for your guide, or maybe, you know, your guide's in the restaurant too, he's eating, but you're not affiliated with him or associated with him, you know... Use proper table manners. Don't eat like you're a fucking caveman who just got a big ass chicken dinner, okay? Watch your table manners. Do not draw attention to yourself, even with your table manners. Do not be remembered. Somehow the safe house owner should be compensated by someone else other than the ghost wolf. It is highly unlikely he will be in a condition, talking about the ghost wolf, it's highly unlikely that the ghost wolf will be in a condition to show his appreciation in a financial way. But the safe house owner needs to be compensated, but that shouldn't fall upon the ghost wolf guy because he just don't have it. He's got very limited resources and needs to use them for his escape and evasion. Alright. Try not to use your first aid kit or your food source in your bug out bag, ghost wolf, just in case you have to bail unexpectedly in a hurry. Just in case you have to bail out of the safe house in a hurry. You want to eat all your pogey bait that's in your dugout bag. You got some beef jerky there, some nice jerky, maybe a power bar, maybe some dried fruit. Don't forget your dugout bag can't be too heavy. Alright? You got a mosquito net in there. You got a poncho in there. And you got a poncho liner. Okay? You have a small caliber weapon with at least 50 rounds of ammunition. You have a change of socks, one t-shirt
and one pair of underwear. Okay? I know that I talked about having a change of clothes in there, but remember, the change of clothes that was in your bug out bag are what you changed into before you bugged out. Remember the analogy I used the one time about being at a wedding, you're in a tuxedo, all of a sudden someone said, "Hey man, some fucking feds looking for you." "Oh, okay, well, you tell them I'll be over in a minute. I gotta go take a piss." But you're gone. So when they put out their APB or do whatever, they say, "Hey, he's in a fucking tuxedo." You stealthily or best you can make your way to where you got your bug out bag stashed, open it up, you slip on that nice pair of earth tone Carhartt work pants, you know, something that doesn't stand out. You don't want bright pants, you want earth tone. Maybe OD green, maybe brown, maybe black. Okay, you got a nice pair of shoes on. Not big ass hunting boots or hiking boots, something that's light but yet sturdy. And you got a shirt and an uncharacteristic nondescript hat. Okay? And the rest of the stuff that's in your bug out bag, obviously you will have, you know, glass cutter. You will have a 5-in-1 tool. You know what those are. Go to the fucking paint store if you don't. If you use it as a B&E tool. Maybe a little bit of, maybe at least 5 feet of duct tape wrapped around the glass cutter. You want a couple flashlights. Small flashlights, nothing big. Okay, with fresh batteries, you know, maybe a monocle of some kind. It's like a one-piece binocular thing. Okay, I'm getting close to the end of the side here, and I just finished this thing on the safe house. So I've covered a lot so far on just this one side. Counter guerrilla operations, sniper, and safe house stuff. So we're flying right along, okay, getting all this stuff down so it can be useful. And we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. I'm hoping someone out there will carpe noctem. I'm hoping someone out there will decide that, well, he's not going to be a writer, he's not going to be a talker, he's going to be a doer. He's going to be a fighter for the race. And what's the alternative? Complete dispossession by non-whites. We ain't having that. Hell no, we won't go. We ain't having that. Shots ring out in the middle of the night. Looks like we're in for a firefight. Tom Metzger was shot right between the eyes when we thought by God he was gonna die. But he did not scream and he did not shout. He pulled that commie bullet right on out. Then he jumped up to our surprise. He shot the Jew bastard right between the eyes. Because he's hardcore, insurgency, fit to fight, lean and mean, ghost wolf, follow me. Alright, you know what? We got to do whatever we can to build a fighting spirit amongst our people, here and across the pond. Okay? Certain situations in society are handing us a great opportunity to start doing some things, start setting the tone, okay? Don't let our race go quietly into the night. It's incumbent upon all of you who have the balls and the mental constitution to do what needs to be done, okay? I truly believe the window of opportunity, you know, don't wait till you have to taste desperate, you know? A lot of us haven't tasted desperate. If the white race waits until we're completely desperate, it may be too late by then. Okay? I know about the thing, keep your powder dry and this and that, but you just don't know. Too many of us, you know, who work hard to be soldiers, can wake up one day, invalids, crippled, dead. You know, and we didn't do the hardcore things what it took to save our race. So we need to step up to the plate, because it's the bottom of the ninth. It's two out. Count is 3-2. Bases loaded. You know, hate to use a baseball analogy, but that's how I feel. Recognize that you are a consequence of white treason.
you are a consequence of international finance. You are a consequence of misplaced black power. You are a consequence of white cowardliness. You are a consequence of white apathy. It's not your fault you're the way you are. You know, you were shaped in this cauldron of racial treason. So, let's get hot. Let's do what needs to be done, no matter how grotesque it may be. 14.